Hey guys, this week's episode of The Read is being brought to you by Nature Box. The holidays mean one thing. That means running around, driving yourself crazy, and yelling at your children if you were foolish enough to have some. There are presents that you've got to wrap, and you got to make travel plans and all kinds of stuff for you to do. So you may not have as much time as usual to eat healthy. So let NatureBox take care of it. They've got over 100 delicious snacks that are made with high quality, simple ingredients. That means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, or hateration, or holleration. You know, right now you can get NatureBox, and they're offering 50% off of our listeners. Go to naturebox.com/the read. That's naturebox.com/the READ for 50% off your first order. Now let's move on.
Hey guys, today's episode is also brought to you by Sonos. The Sonos One blends amazing sounds with Amazon Alexa, which is the easy-to-use voice service for hands-free control of your music and more. I was blessed with a Sonos a couple weeks ago and set it up and all that with my Wi-Fi. It works amazing and it sounds incredible, most importantly. You can use your voice to play songs while you throw down in the kitchen or pick your favorite jams to jig to while you're in the shower. You can even manage your smart devices all using a single Sonos speaker. And for a limited time, Sonos is offering our listeners 10% off one order of $2,500 or less for any product on Sonos.com. Just use the promo code READ10, that's capital READ10, at Sonos.com to receive this offer. Let them know we sent you and let's start the show.
I don't know who you are or where I know you from or why you think that you're an attractive nurse, but I'm sure that I don't want to know you any longer. Now, please go away. I'm having a very bad day.
Nope, I do not know it. And I'm not going to cheat like I would maybe ordinarily try to and Google it. I just don't know this.
Okay, I'll give you another one. Same film.
Okay.
Brother Reed, you have messed up my afro.
That's the whole line. Okay. Who is Brother Reed? Is this a movie you're sure I've seen?
I mean, you should have. Like, it's pretty great.
Is Jennifer Lewis saying one of these lines?
No.
Damn.
It stood the test of time. It's still pretty great. I think it came out in 97.
The Preacher's Wife?
How do you like me now? The Preacher's Wife.
I don't know.
How do you like me now? I'm a dude. Throw an ice cream. Yeah, take some vanilla. Here, have some chocolate. Yeah. Fudge.
No, I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know this. What movie is it?
Brother Reed.
Damn it. You're not going to tell me? You don't have to. The internet will.
Okay, they got it.
Oh, are you on your Instagram?
Yeah, I'm going to turn
live?
It off.
I should have just been on your Instagram then. Shit. Find the answer.
It's Good Burger.
Good Burger. You had me thinking it was something religious.
Why?
Brother
Reed?
Because
I said Brother Reed.
Yeah.
Lots of people say brother.
Oh.
Niggas. Hoteps.
Okay. Sure. Fine.
It's not always just like a
I absolutely
thing.
Did not see Good Burger, so... There we go. All my confusion has just lifted.
You should be charged.
Should I? Because I was good and grown when that came out, and it looked ridiculous.
Oh, please. Good Burger is still hilarious.
It looked ridiculous.
It is funny.
I was old enough to remember when all that premiered, and I watched every episode till it went off the air. So Good Burger was... For a generation, not mine.
Lies.
No, I don't care what you
Good
say.
Good Burger is still funny. It's on Netflix at the moment.
Fine.
From
watch
like the
it
first minute when you saw what's that nigga name? Marcus Houston, where he came around the corner with them edges slicked down, looking like Rosanna Chili Thomas.
See, I did not know Marcus Houston was in that movie.
He played Kenan's like best friend or something.
Oh,
he came out looking like Jada
God.
Pinkett in The Matrix. It was awful.
Well, you know, okay. Maybe
anyway,
I'll look
guys,
at that on Netflix.
I'm Kel Mitchell.
And I am Tarana Burke.
This is The Read, back
is.
Once again.
Back for another week. What's been good?
You know, just been out here working.
True.
Scratching, surviving.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to New Orleans for your nice weather. We were there just a short while, but it was beautiful.
I'm hoping I'm going to wake up one of these days and... I'll have a notification that says, we've done it. He's out of the office.
I know, right?
But it's taking really long. Anyway, guys.
We'll be all right.
All right. So, Black Excellence.
Oh, do we have options?
No, we don't have options. We're just trying to figure out who I was going to start with. I will start with, okay, since this one pertains to
We should say the baby last week, her name was not precise.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
We really wanted it to be.
We tried so hard.
It was based off some movie, and I think they just switched out the
Troy.
First letter. Yeah.
Is Troy a movie or a show?
Well, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's the one with Brad Pitt, right?
There's a character named Brisace, I guess.
And we could have, now we know where it's from and right. Still don't know how to say it.
Shout out to the baby with the six pack, though.
Yeah, shout out to the.
You know who we was talking about.
Awesome, athletic, super dope baby. And her super cool, awesome, athletic dad.
So, yeah. What happened this
straight.
What happened this week?
Okay, so first of all, major shout out to Atlanta's new mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms. Just the sheer joy that I get out of saying Bottoms is running Atlanta.
Yeah. I looked on Instagram one day and on my Explore page, there was an ad for her that said Keisha Lance Bottoms for mayor. And I was like, yes, Keisha Lance, you better bottom for the mayor.
Absolutely.
Do that shit, girl.
I mean, there's just no getting around it.
I mean, she honestly has the most perfect last name to be mayor of Atlanta. It's wild that
all the cities. It's just so appropriate for her to be
mayor. I love
Atlanta.
It.
Atlanta.
And I hope it keeps up through the recount and all that. I hope this sour apple-ass white woman continues to be mad and bitter.
Full circle.
Absolutely, yes.
So also, shout out to the anchor woman, Sharon Reed.
Yes.
In Atlanta, who had to
She had to
calmly,
get these hoes together.
intellectually, beautifully, and almost nonchalantly.
It was real smooth.
It was very, you know.
It reminded me of when Demetria went off on that woman who was hating on her body. And she was just like, I want to clap back.
And I could. It wouldn't be difficult.
And I could do that.
Wouldn't
be hard at all. Just going to keep it cute.
A woman by the name of Kathy Ray, I guess she left this comment on CBS 46 on their Facebook page. And basically, they were discussing the race for mayor and the racial dynamics of everything
because
surrounding it.
Because, of course, it is real. Of course it is.
Duh.
It's Atlanta, girl.
I mean, whatever.
It's America, girl.
I mean, everybody else is standing up in it but racists. So the Kathy Ray woman left the following comment. She said, you need to be mind you, there are three anchors on this that sit at this panel or in this newsroom. And this was directed to the black woman.
Of course.
She said, you need to be fired for the race baiting comment you made tonight. It's okay for blacks to discuss certain subjects, but not whites. Really, you are what I call a nigger, not a black person. First of all, I want to say, and I love that Sharon pointed out that although the nigger was censored when they put it up on their screen in the studio, she pointed out that this Kathy Ray woman spelt it incorrectly.
Right. No, like, she definitely spelled it Niger.
How you gonna misspell slurs that y'all came up with?
All the time. Autocorrect does that to them, and I am grateful for it. But amen. I wish they had unstarted, like she said, like, let's just go ahead and put it out there.
Like, please.
It's after 9 o'clock, and y'all, look, we gonna pretend that grown people in Georgia don't know what nigger is? Come on now. Right.
Really, you are what I call a nigger, not a black person. You are a racist nigger. That doesn't even make sense. You are you can't what? A racist nigger. That is how. You are what's wrong with the world. So essentially what Sharon did after they read this, it said to her that I could clap back at you, but I'm going to let your words speak for themselves.
Beautiful.
That you feel like you can call her a nigger in 2017 and she just does not. And the discussion that they had wasn't even like something super heated or crazy. She wasn't saying no off the wall, random, like.
Literally talking about what the whole fucking city is talking about because there is a mayoral race going on. Like it is a newsworthy topic of conversation.
We've been talking about it up here.
White people are also, that was the video of Sharon being like, girl.
Right. She girl. Was ever so much like, so we're just going to do this, sweetheart, since you wanted your life.
When her hands went up in that prayer position. Right. Tatiana did like a little gift set screenshot sort of thing of all the different places where Kathy had Sharon fucked up. And it was right. Everything.
Okay, so before we move on, I wasn't sure if I was going to stick this part at the read portion. But let's keep it focused on what actually matters, and that's Black excellence and Colin Kaepernick receiving
the
Muhammad Ali Legacy Award, which is so such a
what a lofty title, right?
Just sounds super prestigious.
The Legacy Award, right. Well, shit.
So apparently, he was surprised with the presenter for the award being Sir Rumi and Blues Mama coming out in a little mini dress.
Looking amazing. How dare this bitch? She actually makes me sick.
Like, I can't stand her.
That big old ass just sitting on her back like that.
What even? Anyways. So, she, you know, had a really well said short speech. He said really dope things in his speech about whether or not the NFL season for him, he's going to continue to work for the people, which is what they're really mad about.
Right.
They don't care about whether or not he can play football.
Not
like,
at
that's
all.
Not.
Because if that was the case, they would have shut up all season long because he has not played or suited up in one game.
I just haven't heard about him playing
a sport. That is not it. It's not about, it's not really, and it never was. We know that, but you have to waste so much time arguing with races using logic because the rest of us operate in it and they just don't. So
Toenail Lifferent, apparently she still doesn't have a job, but feels it in her
heart.
She
doesn't work for Fox?
I don't know.
I thought she did.
Does she?
I thought Fox picked her up, yeah.
Did they?
Now, you know I don't keep up with her, but I think they did.
Yeah,
she
was dead to me.
Well, I mean, and still is.
So here's what her ghost said. it tweeted, "Police hating Beyonce presents police and America hating Cappy," which I'm certain that that was less about her being condescending and more with her not knowing how to spell Kaepernick. Police and America hating Cappy with a legacy award, legacy in quotations. This is how far we've fallen. Wow. And to that, I just say, like, girl,
shut up, sis.
That's it. Like, there's nothing else to say.
Just shut up.
It's just like, shut up.
Shut up.
Like, when you would go out with your friends or whatever, and your little brother wanted to come too, like, get and go sit down.
Please.
Shut the fuck. No.
Would you just shut up?
No, we don't care about you.
Right.
This isn't about you.
And you're not even worth entertaining, like, the possibility of an argument or a discussion.
Nothing about you.
Just shut up.
Just shut up. And why is it that, like, racist-ass Republicans always want to start niggas' names with, like, a past participle or some shit like that?
Okay,
police hating. Why is it always, like, why? Just say, first of all, you're wrong. Because,
right.
like, these aren't even accurate descriptions.
Right.
And then why do you, like, she does it.
They all do
it. 4 or 5 does it. They all do it. What is
Bill
that?
Bill O'Reilly does it. They all are like that.
It's so boring.
It's like their way of distinguishing. I'm only talking about this nigger because of the pro-nigger things
right.
they do that I don't like.
Exactly.
And you wanted to frame it like we're against police when really the whole thing is about, like, stop fucking killing us. It shouldn't even be a thing to argue about. But because y'all are so closely tied to your racist beliefs, you really will not let that shit go. And Fox gives her the platform, I guess, I'm assuming, to say whatever the fuck she wants to. So, but fuck that little girl. I have her blocked.
That's probably why I don't.
She said something funny one time about a bitch I can't stand. But other than that, I'll fuck with Tommy Lahren.
Okay.
And that's all there is to it. Even a broke clock is right twice a day. But that bitch.
So today's being sponsored by this.
Oh, it's gross. No, don't talk about it.
Off.
This ain't Ian's Punch.
So you attempted to recreate Ian's Punch, but you didn't have the bitters to do so.
He said to use, say the word for me. What type of bitters is it?
Nah, I done forgot.
The Angostura?
Angostura. I don't know.
Is that how you say it? Anyway, I Googled it, and it just means bitters from, like, this certain place in the islands, certain islands. And so I went to like a couple stores up here and I only found regular and I wasn't about to run. I'm sure they're in the city somewhere, but I just wasn't about to run around and find them.
Right.
So I made it with the regular bitters and you can definitely taste the difference. So I ordered the real ones.
A strong difference?
On Amazon.
They're like fraternal twins.
Yeah, but it's enough for me to be like, I want that. I want that Bajan punch back.
Maybe it's their water.
It could be. And I didn't squeeze the lime juice by hand, and I probably should do that the next time.
More than likely.
Because I'm sure, he's probably not using real lime
like I was. What is that green
that
bottle called?
Real lime, nigga.
That's what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, no, they don't use that
shit. No. So next time I'm going to actually squeeze the limes by hand and use the Angostura. Y'all will correct me if I said that wrong. Bitters. But I wasn't going to throw this away because that was a whole damn bottle of Henny White that went in that. So we're going to drink it anyway.
All right. So this week in Hot Tops and the Giant Peach.
Okay. Oh, wow. What a book. James got sick Hot trying Tops to eat his way through peach. That big ass. Peach.
Oh, I should have done a James and the Giant Peach quote. There's actually a couple of gold ones in there. I'll save that for the
that
future.
Reminds me. I said I was going to start doing book quotes on this show. I can't believe I forgot about
that. That's not
that.
Even as fun or the same thing or whatever.
Niggas
there are so many more words in a book than there are in a movie.
Period. It's even better.
No, it isn't.
Yes. Or it doesn't have to be a quote. I could describe a scene and you just have to name the book that the scene comes from. And if you've read the book, you'll know it.
Girl. There are literally way more books than movies.
I'm just saying.
There are way more words.
The nerds who only read and don't watch TV. We need to band together and rise up.
All right. So I tried with the stories today.
I'm sure you did a good job.
I feel like, just overall, I haven't really found it in me to keep up with a lot of this stuff anymore. And a lot of this really isn't interesting. And I also kind of feel like a lot of these celebrities now are acting up just so that we'll do this. Well, I mean, not us specifically, but anyone.
Say,
like anybody. And just I just feel like that makes it way less fun as well.
True.
But anyway, so let's see. Do you know who Vic Mensa is?
Of course.
Talented rapper, young guy, Chicago, tattoos all over the place.
Kind of cute, depending on the angle and the light.
I'll give that to you. So apparently he had an interview with something called Montreality, where he said that he feels like he should play Prince in a Prince biopic.
Ooh, sir.
He said, Prince is one of my biggest idols of all time, and he's the real king of pop, which I felt like I should have stopped there, but I'm going to let him have it because it's Prince. And he's young.
Right. It's not like he did that for Chris Brown or something.
Right, exactly. So,
I'm going to let you have that, but there's a reason that we called Michael Jackson the king of pop.
Right.
It's a real reason. Look,
but it's still Prince.
Right. It's still Prince. And you talking about Prince as one of your greatest inspirations, nigga, you just going to have to get in line. Like, who the fuck doesn't feel that way?
Kids his age would have said, like, Bryson Tiller or somebody else.
Oh, he is a baby. 93. 24. He's 24 years old. Okay. All right.
That's old in the industry now.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Shut me the... Oh, yeah. Because how old is Lil Gucci Gang?
16, See? 17, mm-hmm. something
Talking
like that.
Talking about his bitch love cocaine. That's too much.
And she probably does.
She probably does. That is the damn shame.
Probably sell it to her. He said, some people will be mad that I said that. We covered that. The reason why I'd be able to kill the role as Prince is because I got that mouthpiece. Prince was butter smooth with it, and I feel like I could do that too. I feel like, of all of the things that we want to see in a Prince film, it's not just, I guess, the way that he speaks. But I know Vic Mensa to be a relatively talented rapper. I've never seen him act in anything in my life.
That's
so.
What I'm wondering. Like, sir, can you act? Is it just because you think you might kind of look like him a little bit
right.
if you cut the hair off and squint? then you could maybe get some Prince-ish vibes. But the reasons he gave are not, that's not a reason for anybody to cast you in a movie. It's not it.
Right.
Because everybody's going to compare you to Prince in Purple Rain. And it's going to be like, why would we go watch Vic Mensa try to imitate Prince when we've already, anybody with an internet connection can just watch Prince.
And how do you work in Purple Rain if you're covered in airbrush makeup to cover your tattoos like when they just come off?
Right. And it's like, are we getting like a biopic of like Prince's life story and all this stuff? Because even I just want an actor to do this. I want somebody who is trained in the art of acting. It is not something any old damn bitch can do just because you think you can manipulate your face or whatever.
I mean, unless you're going to hop on Lifetime, but we ain't going to watch that nowhere.
Right. No, if we're talking about like a real biopic that people are like pouring money into and it's got studio support and all this, let's just get a trained actor to do the role.
I mean,
we know you love Prince. We all do.
Right.
But I love Beyonce. That don't mean somebody should call me to come be in the Beyonce movie. It just doesn't. It should not happen.
I'm still healing anyway. So if you start acting classes now, assuming you aren't doing them, then by the time I'm ready to see a Prince film, you might be like a A1 ass nigga.
I mean, maybe
in these acting streets, because I don't need it anytime soon.
Maybe. It's just the reasons you gave wasn't curling over for me. That's all.
Okay. So Trey Songz is apparently being sued after allegedly assaulting a fan.
Oh, Lord.
Outside of a strip club. So
what?
A woman in Philadelphia says that she bought tickets for like a meet and greet in the VIP section of a strip club called the Vanity Grand Cabaret. Now, I'm confused already because, nigga,
who does meet and greets?
You have a meet and greets at the strip club, nigga?
I'm really confused by that. Who does meet and greets at the strip club other than strippers?
Like, I feel like that's just a distracting environment to do something like that
right.
in.
Right. Like, it's just, is there ass on in the background while people are like,
right.
taking their Instagram live pictures?
Like, are people just posting boomerangs with titties and pussies just swinging up above their heads?
Right.
Like a shirt in a Peter Pablo video.
Is it his strip club? Does he own it or something?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I feel like that would be mentioned.
Oh, Vanity Grand Cabaret. No, that sounds fancy.
Yeah, way too fancy.
What the hell happened?
So she says that in the parking lot, she was trying to take a picture of him and he smacked the phone out of her hand and it smacked her in the face. As a result, it broke her glasses. And now she's suing him and the venue, claiming that the venue knew that Trey Songz has a tendency towards violence and negative interaction with the public. So,
girl, violence.
Did you? Because...
Wait, so this didn't happen during the meet and greet, the time where you were able to
unless
take
the meet
pictures.
And greet took place in the parking lot, and it did not. So I'm assuming this is when he was leaving. She went to go snap some pictures of him. He wasn't having it. And according to her, smacked the phone and broke her glasses. Now
see,
she wants some money.
See, no, what you should do is pick up your glasses, go home and tape them back together and take that L.
All it takes is a little scotch.
It just takes a little bit of tape or call your insurance. We all get a pair of glasses every year for free. Or I don't know, maybe your insurance doesn't work like that. Mine does. But anyway, like, that is a personal problem. This isn't the time and place for us to take pictures. Like, the meet and greet was the time and place for that. So if I'm walking out of the club on my way home or whatever, I probably don't want your fucking phone in my face. And I guarantee she had the flash on that bitch too, probably trying to record something for Snapchat or Instagram to show your friends and shit. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, how did you buy tickets to meet this guy in the VIP section of this club, but you had to take pictures of him outside?
Right.
In the parking
I don't
lot.
Understand
that
why that had to happen.
To
yeah. Didn't you already have your picture with Trey Songz? So why are you in his face again?
If he swung at you or was violent toward you, obviously he shouldn't have been.
That would be something else.
But
I would also probably flick your phone at your hands if you had it in my face and I didn't want to take pictures or didn't want to be photographed. I probably would. And y'all are real fucking selfish about that picture shit and really irrational about it and will just take pictures anyway, even when people tell you not to. And so I guess sometimes you just gonna have to be told a different way. Like I said, don't take no fucking pictures of me. And I meant it.
I don't see what's difficult about
that. Somebody did that to me in an airport once and it pissed me off so bad. literally came right up to me like, oh my God, love the show. This. Can I take a picture? I said, I really don't feel like taking pictures. You know, I'm raggedy. I'm in the airport running to my connection. Right. And nigga just pulled out the phone and took a picture anyway. Like, okay, thanks. Love you so much. Bye. And it just went on about his business. And I'm like, but didn't I feel like I just said no? And you just took it anyway.
Why didn't you just take it without asking so we could just fight?
Right. Why ask if you were just going to take it anyway and you didn't give a fuck about how I felt about it?
Dumbass.
I have really felt for celebrities with that whole people having cameras in your face thing lately, because it just seems like if I ask you to not, then you should just not.
Furthermore, if I'm at an event like this, weird titty meet and greet.
Like, I still don't understand why this was at the strip club.
I don't know. That nigga's manager or PR people or somebody must have been like, you going to the strip club tonight? All right, well, let's get some money. I don't know how that worked.
Lord.
Maybe he stopped at a radio show, like a radio station or something that same morning and decided then. I don't know. But
unless there's like video coming out and he was just like crazy disrespectful and slapped her in the face and all this, then I'm on his side as far as this story is concerned.
Yeah, same as for now.
Leave
I'm going to
have alone.
To go and
say yeah.
On the side of Trigger Trey.
Leave people alone.
The Trig. So X3 or whatever we call an escape now.
It is an X3.
X-3. 3X. Triple X?
Nope. Mm-mm. That's not going to Google
escaped
very well.
Escaped. Left. Going.
Okay. Let's just keep on.
Like,
let's just move
it could be
on.
Like Tony, but like.
No.
Tamika going. Could be going. Latasha could be going,
mm-hmm.
like with no G.
Okay.
And then Tiny could be gone.
Oh, I thought Tiny was going to be left.
That's probably better, but with no T.
This is all terrible. This is so bad.
I mean, it just doesn't give me escape, but anyway.
I mean, it's because without Candy, it's not
and
escape.
It just isn't.
It isn't. It's but, the four of you. It's you four hoes in particular.
And we could give Candy so much stress over her being pretty annoying in a couple of ways.
Because she definitely is.
She is.
There's
she
a lot of,
moments.
Why even agree to do this if you were just going to pout and drag your feet the whole time and not really want to be a part of it?
Well,
it's valid. Candy, to be like, you should have just said no if you didn't really want to participate.
Candy very clearly enjoys money. Candy
can't
also seems like the type of person who... can be coaxed into doing certain things if you come at her right and she's getting some money. Like, it just seemed like she was probably like, you know what? I don't even want to be the bitch who's going to shut this down. Let's go perform at Essence. Let's do some cute whatever stuff to her and get this money.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like she gave them an inch and they wanted like a couple kilometer.
Right.
She was like, as far as this whole new
I
music
told you
thing
bitches
is,
1 inch.
I still hate you bitches. Y'all hoes hate me except for Tiny. Mm-hmm. And, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, it don't make no sense for us to do this again, for us to then, you know, go through the same shit. Just watching the show, you could tell
right.
that there's always tension. They haven't really fixed or hashed out anything. They're kind of just working. They're being as cordial as possible so that they can get paid.
Right.
Candy does
need,
not.
They need to have like a real, open, honest conversation where everybody is being real
and
about
interested.
What happened. No, they're not
going to nobody's interested.
That's way too hard.
Right.
It's too much emotional labor.
So, Candy does not really need to be an escape, I guess.
True.
She's got her Bravo coins. Apparently, she really will be on Broadway.
She'll be in Chicago.
Singing music.
Which apparently is the show they will just put everybody in. I saw Brandy in Chicago. But Brandy can sing.
Yeah.
That's
Brandy
different. Right.
Can sing.
Brandy can sing.
And Brandy also acts. Brandy has
Brandy
an
does get
IMDb
booked to
page.
Act. Yes, Brandy does.
Brandy
get booked
has
for
a filmography.
Gigs. Yes, she does.
So
Cinderella
is what I'm saying.
And I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Still.
Right, she was in that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Those are good. Those are good movies.
Ooh, Charlotte Moon, Chevy Moon.
Who the
Moon.
Fuck is that?
Miss Moon. What no, was that didn't. Damn show on mm-hmm. BT that got canceled? Miss. Shelly Moon. Shelly was
oh,
Eve.
Oh, God. No, the stuff with the show we got to
Detective Moon.
Wait, no.
Zoe Moon.
Zoe Saves the World. No. No, that's Blackish. That's
it's,
youngish.
It's Moon.
Zoe BT.
Zoe Moon.
But what was Zoe. It called? Zoe Ever After. Zoe Ever After. Damn.
Nigga, whatever.
That show lasted 1 month. Wow.
Was it really called Zoe Ever After?
Google says first episode, January 5th, 2016. Final, February 16th, 2016. Damn. We really wasn't watching that, though.
Nobody wanted to see that.
Mm-mm. No, no. Oh, yeah, because remember the gay assistant person and...
Somebody sent me a... I won't say I got like the sides or whatever you call it for that part. Like I was, someone sent me the.
That's literally what I'm talking about. Like they wanted you to, they wanted us to audition for this show.
Oh, you got them too.
Nigga, yeah. I was going to be the girl and you were going to be the gay right. nigga. And we were like, this don't look good.
I just read it and I was like. I just didn't even like the way that the gay character spoke,
as
the way he let people
script,
speak to him.
I was like, oh no.
I was like,
y'all
no.
got the wrong niggas. We are not gonna do it.
I was like, I can't be that queen on TV. I'm so sorry. But
Zoe Ever After casting. No shade to the cast. You know, everybody.
Yeah,
everybody got
to
work, right?
Right.
But the script was never good.
I couldn't do it.
Brandy really is a beautiful girl.
Moving on. We didn't even talk about why we're talking about Escape. So Escape is being managed by Vince and Herbert now. Vince is also managing Remy Ma. He took her to see Hamilton last night.
Wow, that's pull.
So he's just going around impressing all the black women that ain't Tamar. Which I think is interesting, especially that Tamar's on tour with them.
Right. That still seems super awkward. Like how, so he's around then, right? If he's the manager.
I guess.
That seems really awkward. I haven't watched any episodes of their show because who wants to see two people who are clearly about to divorce? Like
when I saw that Vince had taken Remy to see Hamilton, it was on her Instagram page today. And she put in the caption like, Papoose, Tamar, everybody was asking where y'all were. And I was like, maybe Vince and Tamar are like cordial or something. Like, because I can't imagine why.
Why she would tag Tamar otherwise.
All right.
Or mention that because it seems like it would be like a sensitive subject overall. Yeah.
Or maybe she's just late to the table and just doesn't know them. Because I don't like, because why are people going around saying, hey, where's Tamar? We're getting divorced. Right. She's not here.
No, I think she, Remy has to know. So yeah, maybe it is that they're just.
They're cool.
They're as cool as possible. But then again, didn't Tamar's mama say that Vince be hitting on her? So
that's what I'm talking about.
Right. I just.
But I also heard that Tamar was upset with her mom for saying that.
Well, yeah.
Which I mean, I can imagine for several reasons.
Like, damn, mama, why would you tell everybody? I can see that.
Because that's her mama. Is she black? And she's like, bitch, I don't give a fuck how you or anybody else feel about it because I'll kill him. I feel like that's how mamas are.
Right. That's how I feel like that's how most loving family members are going to react to something like that. Like, it was probably hard enough for them to sit there while Tamar stayed with Vince anyway, and they knew what was going on. So the fact that he's finally actually gone now, like, they're divorced and all that, her mama's probably like, woo! And let me tell you something else about that bitch, Vince.
Right.
Just can't wait to get it all out. So I don't know. That whole situation seems really messy. And gross.
And I just don't really, this new music.
No, the Bluebirds Cry in the Trap singing Brian at Night.
No, not Tamar's music.
Oh.
Escape's music.
Oh no. I mean, it sounds okay, but
it sounds like Escape, but Escape's not really what I need right now.
There you go. I'm feeling this SZA shit, you know? I like this wave of the young kids being depressed and smoking weed and talking about how all they do is eat gummy bears and wish they had a life. Like, you know, I'm really with that whole genre of music right now. I don't need the stuff from 20 years ago to reminisce on.
Yeah, I just don't. I feel like there's a place and a way to make like that 90s sound that we all love for today, but I don't know. I'm just not buying it. I wish them all the best and things of that nature, but I just don't care to come in out of my pockets on some new ass. It's almost like, you know, I read that they're remaking Superfly, which, and Cleopatra Jones, like they're remaking these movies, which I'm confused. Like, I don't understand how they're going to do that. Like, you're either going to make a blaxploitation film today, which I don't know how that would work without it being
wildly offensive.
Right. And just camping it ridiculous.
It's just, we don't live in the same time.
Right. I've never seen a black exploitation film outside of the 70s that wasn't like an obvious comedy, like making fun of itself.
Right.
Or you're going to make like modern versions of it, which just defeats the purpose as well. It's like, like, then you just make any old ass nigga movie from like, whatever.
And
like when they had
Shaft
with Samuel Jackson. You remember that?
No, because I definitely didn't go see that either.
It was not.
Yeah.
Shaft.
Mm-mm. And that's something that should stay like in the era that it was in, I think. Like, it's fine to go back and people love
it,
of course.
Why don't you watch the old one?
Right. You can always revisit it, but trying to adapt it for a new time is like, but it doesn't work for a new time. It works for that time.
Well, studios are lazy.
That's true.
So they'd rather just
and they'd be like, oh, well, we had a hit 30 years ago.
Right.
So let's just do it again.
What else is going on? Pray for Kaya. She seems to think that she wrote The Baddest Bitch by Trina and says that the reason that she doesn't fuck with Trina or always talks about Trina is because Trina put out a diss record on her some years ago, which it wasn't even really like a direct diss record. Like, Kaya says something stupid and was hating as she usually does.
So you do know the song.
And Trina, I know the song that she's talking about, but it wasn't like, fuck Kaya and I'll fight your mama and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was kind of just like, bitch, you know who you are. You know who I am. Mm-hmm. And you, much like the rest of these hoes, could never the end. And this was after, like, incessant bullshit from Kaya.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
So she and T.S. Madison have, like, a show that they do together on YouTube that is actually pretty funny, although quite ridiculous and often super offensive, mostly because of Kaya.
I was going to say, one guess as to who the problematic bitch is.
Right. Madison is hilarious and funny, and she could really just sit there and make faces at Kaya's nonsense for the whole thing, and that was, like, the comedy. They could actually really brand the fuck out of that show and make some paper if Kaya would calm down, but she won't because she's bitter.
Damn.
Either way, I just feel sorry for her. That it's been these many years, and you are still just mad at everybody else.
This is still your way of trying to get attention. Like, you still trying to claw at Trina for any damn little piece of relevancy.
Like,
why?
Sometimes it's hard for me to even enjoy the humor in what she's saying because it's so obviously surrounded in the fact that she is bitter, that she didn't, you know.
You're not. Make it. You never were, Trina.
And she will always go above and beyond to try and say the opposite. Like, I've got, you know, a song that's still being played and this and a third and Miley Cyrus performed to it and all this other dumb shit. Like, yes, My Neck, My Back was super cute, girl, when I was like in sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
Moving right along.
Like, you have one song that niggas still know. Trina has a list of songs that niggas would still gladly play at any party today.
And furthermore, if Trina fucked your daddy in like the 90s, then like at some point you gotta move on, because Trina certainly does. Trina's living her best motherfucking life out here. Still look good, still well respected, consistent as fuck, bad as fuck, Miami as fuck, reps her hometown, is not afraid of where she came from. You know what I'm saying? So she's good and not talking about you.
You're the one over here focused on me instead of maybe your own career. Like, maybe that was part of your problem. The fact that you were so convinced that I held you back, that you never really worked on pushing yourself forward.
At some point, you have to just get over it.
Everybody's not going to pop, girl. That is a sad reality of the situation. Everybody's not going to be a Trina, and you're just not one.
Next case. Speaking of cases, Nas is apparently trying to schedule visitation through the courts to see his child, his 8-year-old son, Knight, that he has with Khalees. Because she apparently, he says she will only allow him visitation when she finds it convenient. Sometimes we'll go months without him getting to see this child. I think she just had another one not too long ago.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Everybody knows that after they got divorced, Nas had to pay like $50,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. her spousal support.
Queen still hates Khalees over there. Like, they hate her. Like,
yeah, that's what I heard. But I mean, niggas, you had a rapper's baby. So yeah, you're gonna get paid after. And you were married. It's not like you were just one of his jump offs or something. Everybody knew how much Nas was just like head over heels about Khalees. If this is true, that she's just not letting him see his son, then that's fucked up. And I'm glad he decided to go to court to get visitation. I wish more niggas would think about it this way. Like, there's no way she can just keep you from your child. She just can't. If that's your baby, then go get custody of your baby. Like, she's only keeping your baby from you if you allow that to be the case.
Exactly.
So, no, that is an excuse. It's just like, I don't know, you know, what's going on between them. I'm hoping it's not like a Tyrese and his ex-wife situation where she just needs to get the fuck away because that nigga is on one.
I mean,
non-stop.
My God. Did you see the video of 2 Chainz when he was filming
yes!
Keisha?
When he was filming Keisha's like, little, he was like, bitch, is that Tyrese?
And just started laughing. And we laughed at the same time. Because it was really like he was just enjoying it. And you could tell in that moment, he wasn't taping it because Tyrese was there.
He was
like,
taping
he genuinely
it.
Discovered Tyrese.
And
nigga, wait.
And thought it was funny just like the rest
just like everybody else. Nigga, what the fuck are you doing here?
It was so good. What the fuck are you doing here?
Watch him be like, that's my cousin, or I don't know, whatever.
Oh, niggas.
He probably gave her a box set of Fast and the Furious. This nigga went to Africa and gave Winnie Mandela the Fast and Furious box set signed and
Winnie
kissed her in the
Mandela.
Mouth. And she had to sit there and pretend like she gave a fuck about the movies. Like, oh my, so many movies.
And then she was just like, what? It was figurines? Like little action figures?
No, it was all of the movies. All
oh, it
of
was
the,
just the DVDs.
It was just every film that's out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever.
She was just like, am I really supposed to go home
she
and
was
watch
like,
10?
When somebody gets you a gift on Christmas, you don't want to hurt their feelings.
That's
how she acted.
It's crazy that of all the things Tyrese has done and his own projects and music that he's put out, he gifted her with something else that was just like you're barely a part of and not even the star.
He's the family.
You're not even. No, there isn't any Fast Family.
It's the family.
You about to Fast Family your ass right out this next
like,
moment.
Not even Baby Boy, nigga.
Like, not even Baby Boy.
Like something you're the star of. Or
put the
like,
Coke commercial on a
wasn't
DVD.
Wasn't his last album super like well reviewed?
Was it?
What was it called? Black Rose? I'm pretty sure it was called Black Rose.
I like old Tyrese, like Sweet Lady Tyrese.
I never listened to it, so I don't really know if it was good or not, but I'm pretty sure I remember hearing people say that they liked it. So like, why not that?
Or, you know, right. It's just,
this seems like a random weird
so,
thing to give.
To give to Winnie Mandela.
Fucking, like, not like some kids and like
some girl who
make
wanted,
a wish.
Right. Somebody who was like, all I want to do is meet the nigga from the Fast and Furious before.
Right.
That would make more sense. This woman who has done so much.
I would have gave her like a nice, like, like a nice vase or...
Right, first of all, I don't have a gift worthy just, enough of Winnie Mandela,
right.
But a bunch of DVDs of my shit and movie series is not... I hope she's like a hardcore Fast and the Furious fan. I really do. I hope she has like a Paul Walker tattoo or something.
She didn't
so that
react
this
like
makes
she
sense.
Was.
Of course she didn't.
She reacted like she knew that she was on camera and she didn't want to be mean because she's a sweet woman.
She was trying to be nice like when... When Melania gave Michelle Obama that Tiffany box and she wanted to drop it.
Michelle wanted to chuck that shit like a frisbee so
ugh, her face was just like, ugh.
Like, if Michelle had it her way, you would have just seen that shit just
she like, would have just tossed it.
Flying right over the monument.
Like how Uncle Phil used to toss
jazz
right out the damn house. It would have just flown smooth out the back somewhere. Like, girl, I don't want this garbage trash.
I hope she's at peace.
But I'm a world leader and I need to act like I have some sense.
I hope Michelle is just like getting a massage somewhere or like laying in a hammock.
Oh, say Michelle who? Obama, yes. I hope she is happy. She knows how sick we are without her. But yeah, I hope she's thriving without America because she deserves.
Last but not least, the Migos have reignited their bitter feud with Joseph Budden.
Somebody's about to get jumped.
On a right.
Yes! Nigga better get security.
So I've got a new, I guess it's a mixtape coming out called Control the Streets. Should I play some? Let's just play it.
This is Migos or Joe?
This is this is Migos music. That's why we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Right now, of course. I haven't heard a lie yet. I like that line.
This song overall sounds pretty boring to me. And typical repetitive Migos stuff. Mm-hmm. Also interesting to me that they're doing this now. I kind of forgot that I feel like they've done beat up like at least three other rappers.
Everybody, right.
Since the Joe Budden thing.
Oh, yeah. With Academics. Was that the BET Awards or something? Where was that at that they acted like that?
I think it... No. But yes. Yes.
Everything is fuzzy.
Yes.
I want to say it was BET though, just because that one gif of that girl trying to see what was going on. I feel like she was in front of a BET step and repeat. That gif came from that
awards,
moment.
Possibly.
Something. But it is true that Joe Budden, if you want to act
if a nigga
like
hating, call him Joe Budden.
I mean,
pussy is the ad lib, so don't forget that.
Oh, puss.
Joe Budden responded by saying on Twitter, Quavo wants smoke. LOL. Soon as it's all peace, he decides to unleash this lyrical venom in my direction. That's crazy.
Venom's a strong word. Venom means poison.
He's being sarcastic.
Oh, okay, great.
Nigga called me pussy on the ad-lib track, laughing emoji. Then he tweets or tags Quavo and says, I'm your OG and you will respect me as such.
Mm-mm. No, that's not true.
This is bull.
Yeah. So,
this is dumb. Do they even remember why they don't like each other?
Right. Do you even remember? Also, when was this song recorded? Is it possible that they recorded this months ago and it's just now coming out?
And it makes no difference to me because maybe. I wouldn't put it out.
I mean,
like, they don't care, I'm sure.
Most of the Migos music is literally just something to bop to while you are high.
Right.
Or drunk, whatever. Exactly. It's not, nobody listens to me and goes like, you know what, I really need some real deep lyrics to cleanse my soul and just make me feel refreshed and have me reflect on life. Like, there's a time and place for most different, like, varieties of rap or whatever. So that's not it. I just think that Joe Budden is giving himself a lot by calling himself anybody's OG, especially some niggas from Atlanta. Like, you might be some niche rapper in the tri-state area, in the suburbs of Jersey or something. You might be that nigga's daddy, but you are certainly not, just because you came out with a hit 15, 20 years before I did, does not make you nobody's OG, nigga. What? Like, you really giving yourself a lot. And it's not that he's not a talented rapper, but you're just honestly crediting yourself where you don't deserve it. That's all.
They're just antagonizing each other, and I'm not 100% why.
See, well, who gonna start shooting in if that's how niggas really want to act? Because you're talking about niggas want smoke. Smoke means something. Smoke don't. That's
I don't
not
think
a
that smoke
speech.
Really means much of anything anymore. Because, like, soccer moms say it at this point.
Oh, what? Have it's white women, like, figured out what somebody won't smoke means?
Cardi B got white women using the B instead of C.
Oh, Father
and all
God.
Kinds of stuff. So, like,
oh, no.
Really? This gang shit work. Is dead. I'm kidding, but it might be.
That's the thing. Like, gang shit is dead till you find the one nigga that still ride for that shit.
White people are gentrifying gang culture.
Oh, no. That won't work.
And I'm not having it.
Okay. Well, I'm never going to be on Joe Budden's side in any story.
That seems fair.
Like, it's probably never going to happen. And what they said about him was true. So, unless you're going to respond on a record, also, good luck finding a record for us to care about, but go ahead and do that. Remember when he tried to beef with Drake and Drake was like, nobody's even going to listen if you do respond or whatever it was. And it was true. It was like, nobody is going to listen.
I don't even remember what he said.
I remember that, though. I remember that incident.
Like, I remember the incident and the whole thing. I remember thinking that there was a possibility that Joe Budden was, like, seriously and legitimately in love with Drake. I still kind of feel like there was, like, another level of passion
there.
Yeah,
it's not impossible.
That we could explore, but probably won't get to. And that's fine. But
maybe, like, the way OBJ feels for Drake. Like, maybe it's something like that. It's like a real love.
Yeah, but OBJ gives me, like first time
like
bottom.
Like, dick sucking love? Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't going to give him bottoming, but...
Flip-flopping.
But if you think he's ready... If you think he's ready.
Yeah, maybe not for most people, but for Drake.
Yeah, for drug you gotta
it's going down in that grotto.
For drug you're gonna go get the olive oil.
Pile driving.
And you're gonna okay.
You know like how they like
what
break
a term. No, I know. We don't need to
the cement with that.
Okay. Yes, the jackhammer.
Yeah.
Is he getting jackhammered?
Something like that. Okay. In the grotto. Maybe not by Drake.
Oh,
someone in the entourage.
Just somebody in the OVO compound.
Yeah, one of the other owls.
I mean, perhaps. Who knows? Anything is possible. So, yeah, maybe Joe Budden's. I don't think Joe. I just don't care about Joe Budden. Like, he's garbage, trash human being. So, just, I'm always going to feel that way about him until he grows the fuck up.
Well, that's just about it this week for Hot Tops and the Giant Peach. Let's take a break. I'm going to finish this punch and then we'll do
it's so nasty.
It's really not bad.
I can't wait to make it again with the real bitters because that was just, when I tasted it yesterday, it was like gasoline.
It's got like a, like a medicinal feel to it, but.
The aftertaste is real umami-ish. A little bit. Anyway, let's take a break.
Hey guys, support for today's podcast is coming from Casper Mattresses. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. With three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And I don't know about you, but that body temperature thing is
so
real
important
for me.
So important.
And it's all delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that sized box, gotta see it to believe it, with free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend one third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Ain't that the truth?
Yes, it really is. I got my Casper mattress years ago. I want to say it was probably 2 years ago
yeah,
that I got that mattress. Right. And it did come in a box. I was like, bitch, are you sure there's a whole ass mattress in here? Right. But it is. And you take it out, you get it all set up, and it really feels amazing. I know Asante was sleeping on it like, bitch, I cannot believe that this mattress is like a real thing that you ordered off the internet. It feels so good. It does keep you cool. And I don't know if that's like a northern thing or what, but I've noticed that in the wintertime, I get so hot under like the covers and everything. So having a mattress that balances all that out is
it's a weird thing to do.
It is so clutch. You can start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper and the Reed. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Reed and using code Reed at checkout. That's CASPER.com/Reed. Offer code Reed for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. So check them out. Let them know we sent you and let's move on.
Okay, so we're back and it is now time for our listener letters.
It is. Send your questions to ask3@gmail.com. We have a couple of updates this week. Remember Josh, who is white. He was dating a black boy and the black boy wanted Josh to call him a nigger
during
sex. And Josh was like, uncomfy with that. So Josh wrote back and said, when I heard my letter out loud on the Read, I could not believe how much I let dick cloud my judgment.
Right.
That's a common reaction.
It happens to the best of us.
People hear other people saying their words and they're like, oh my God.
Wait, this is really what's happening
Holy
to me right
shit.
Now.
Shit. What am I thinking?
Oh.
He said, Kid Fury, you are absolutely right. I should not compromise my morals and beliefs just because the dick is bomb. And Crystal, you got me thinking, what the hell has my boyfriend been doing to realize that he wants a white boy to call him the N-word? That is just not normal.
Yeah.
So last Saturday, I sat my boyfriend down and told him in no uncertain terms that I would never be using the N-word. And if he had a problem with that, he could leave right now because any man who wants to put me in a situation that makes me so uncomfortable is not the man I want
to
be with.
I cannot believe a white person
I can't believe a white.
Right,
it is just like, amazing.
I shall not call you a fucking nigger, Tyrone. What is wrong with you?
Oh my God. So wait, where was I? Oh no, so here it is. He looked at me like I killed a litter of puppies and he said I was being ridiculous and that he could text any of his ex fuck buddies right now and they'll be glad to do it the way he likes it.
Great.
I simply stood up without speaking, grabbed his shit from my room, opened my apartment door and tossed it out on the stairs. When he got off my couch cussing me out, I said, dick is abundant and low in value. That phrase.
That's pretty accurate.
It's everywhere. And yours is just about worthless. Well, damn. When he went out in the hallway to get his shit, I slammed the door behind him and locked the deadbolt. I am a little disappointed in myself that I let this fuckboy fool me for so long. And in true fuckboy fashion, he has called me every day since this interaction. And I love sending his ass straight to voicemail. In the words of the queen, boy, bye. And then there's a nice little emoji here to signify how done Josh is with the whole situation. So sorry to hear that didn't work out, but kind of crazy that you had to convince this nigga to like...
So why did you and
not want to be called that? That's so weird.
Why did you and your white boy, why y'all broke up? Oh, cause you know he finna lie.
Right. Oh no, he definitely finna lie.
You're not gonna tell anybody, oh, I wanted him to call me a nigger while we were fucking. He just refused.
Right. I wanted to play. Oh no. Never mind. I was about to get into like some slave and master role play.
As
shit.
A white person
to even have to have that conversation,
you have to
so
literally
awkward.
Throw his things out because you refused to call him a nigger,
and he got mad
and he was upset and even threw
this
in your face that he could call his exes up and they would do it. So whatever kind of reverse get out get in, whatever
right.
it is that you be doing,
stay out.
Like yeah, you stay out,
you stay
bitch.
Out
and I'm gonna lock the door right on the inside.
That
once
is
you're gone.
Nuts.
That is strange.
It really is.
And whatever fucking like broken deep dark fucked up shit that road leads to is none of your business.
Right.
And it would surface in many other ways anyway. And I can't figure, like, I don't even know what the hell those ways would be.
Right.
I can't imagine.
I low-key hope it's fake just because I do not want to believe that there is a black man somewhere in this world who is so angry that a white boy will not call him a nigga during sex.
I 100% believe
this
it.
This is a mess.
I 100% believe
it. It's so sad. So our other update comes from Midna. Remember Midna?
I do. Midna left a comment. I saw her in my mentions.
Oh, okay.
She was excited that we read her letter.
Okay. Well, for those of you who don't remember, she is the one who... she and her boyfriend have been together for 18 years. They had a 4-year break where he had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the whole issue is that the baby mama is kind of crossing the line and everything. So Midna wrote back with her blessed self and said, I played the recording of your show for my boyfriend. He was very receptive to it and apologized for making me feel conflicted and like I had an obligation to fix the situation. He addressed her. And her being the cunt that she is.
I knew cunt was the word. I knew it.
Cunt is just so, I don't know. It just gives me white girl vibes every time. I just don't
love
say cunt.
It.
I never just don't say cunt. But
ugh, I love that word.
She went off and said that I was being ridiculous. He let her know that she needed to only call pertaining to their child and that she would need to continue to respect me in our relationship. Apparently, she listens to the show. So to her, yes, it's who you think it is. And yes, you're trifling and fuck you as well.
Okay.
In relation to how he is being raised, I guess this is about the bonus baby.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend is a very active father. I really don't do much outside of everyday parental things in conjunction with his father, and I'm really not concerned with the issue of raising someone else's child. He's in my life, and I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that this child feels loved
right.
and has a good life emotionally, financially, and otherwise. His parents can have that. Thank you guys for your advice, and I continue to love your show. All right, Midna.
Well you know what? Like it worked out as best
does.
As it could.
That sounds like I'm very glad that your boyfriend was like, huh, okay, we're not gonna be dealing with, like, I still stand behind, you should never have to check her. Like, you should just not.
Yeah, and you should.
That's his responsibility. Now, you deciding to be stepmama, that's your own decision to make, and it's very noble that you want the baby to feel,
I mean,
you know,
who ain't a stepmama, stepdaddy at this point?
Well, you know what? It won't be me. Will not be me.
Like, it's literally one of the first questions that women ask on
no,
dates.
So,
you have kids? Yeah, about 30. Like, if the nigga says no past 30, this is like, surprise, surprise.
You don't have kids, like, really?
Well, are you gay? That's always like the follow up question.
So, you don't have kids that you claim?
As
or?
If you couldn't have kids as a gay man.
Right. No, gay niggas be out here with kids.
Bunches.
All the time. So,
many.
I mean, gay niggas be out here with wives, all type of shit. But anyway,
that's
fine. We're great. Just going to move on. Our first question this week comes from Garnet. She says, I have been tight with my friend Amethyst since high school. We stayed close despite going to different colleges and remain close today. She's been with me through a lot. She's an amazing, talented, and chill person. I consider myself lucky to have her in my life. As we got older, Amethyst was diagnosed with a few mental illnesses that explain her struggles with daily life. She has more trouble than most getting out of bed in the morning, showing up on time, and dealing with procrastination. I'm proud of her because over the past 5 years, she's gotten herself a therapist and a psychiatrist to help her cope and improve her life. But this is where things get trying. She completely lacks self-awareness. Last week, I was lucky enough to have received 2 tickets to see SZA perform live. SZA is a talent that I have been practically worshiping for the past couple years, and her glow up has me standing, so these tickets were gold to me.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
She is, and I am so happy to see SZA get all her shine and everything, like, with this album. It is just amazing. So, right. Very proud of her, but... The letter continues, I got Amethyst into SZA this year, so I thought she would be the perfect person to go with me to the show. I gave her the details in advance, and she agreed without hesitation. The day of the show, I was prepared to leave work at 5 and get to the venue and in line before the doors opened at 6:30. We planned to meet up beforehand because I got the tickets that day, but she texted me at 4:30 saying she was running behind at work, and since I'm the one who had the tickets, I was not too pressed to be a little behind on my type A schedule. By 6 o'clock, she said she couldn't make it to the show because she was still finishing up her daily workload. And at this point, I should have said, fuck it, and went to the show solo. But no, of course, that didn't happen. I sympathized with her situation and offered to wait up with her ticket at the very back of the crowd. While I'm online, it throws me off when people say online and they mean in line or whatever, because
it's like online means something.
Online to me means like going on the internet. Right. But anyway. She texted me saying that she was on her way, so I stayed in my place at the back so she could easily find me. When she finally got to me at 8 o'clock, we were at the back of the line. I had the tickets, and I wasn't too picky about being far from the stage. I just wanted to be in the room to listen to SZA. Of course, the venue was overbooked, and after half an hour of waiting, I started to get nervous about not getting in at all. She laughed at my stress, which is a common occurrence. We got halfway down the line, and then she turns and looks to me and says, I'm going home. I have to go to work in the morning. Sorry, girl. And she left me in the pouring rain. So what she's telling me here is that I'm going to end up at this show alone anyway. I could have been in the venue already if I went to work at 5 and stayed in line like I originally planned. So of course now the venue is at max capacity and I'm standing close enough to hear Love Galore at 9:30 by myself in the rain. This is not the first time she has fucked me over. I put in a good word with my boss and got her an interview for an almost guaranteed position, but then she called me panicking and said she couldn't commit to it. Damn. Anyway, Amethyst neglected to go to the doctor for an infection before our trip to Europe, which landed her in an Italian hospital for a quarter of the trip, where I stayed by her bedside to help her communicate with nurses and doctors. I understand this because she has anxiety about doctors, so it isn't shocking that she didn't treat it before the trip. I've never gotten one apology for anything she's done, but I also understand this because she can't help doing it. There are countless other times when she accidentally ditched me because she forgot we were linking up. Knowing this, I spent a whole weekend perfecting her resume, writing cover letters, applying to jobs for her, and everything so that she can get a job without getting overwhelmed. I love Amethyst and will do anything for her and make sure she's comfortable in any situation, but missing SZA really broke me. At this point, I'm beyond fed up and I don't know if this is ableist. I don't know if this is ableist because I know she can't help it, or foolish because I've accepted this one-way friendship for so long. I don't know how to talk to her about this or where to start building my boundaries, but something has to change. Please help, Garnet.
Well, I'm not going to define anything as ableist or not, because I think I just figured out what that was like 3-4 years ago.
I don't think it's ableist.
I don't know. I'm going to say I don't know. But I don't think that's the problem here.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
So
no, I don't. That line actually threw me off. Ableism is not that's not something that occurred to me at all during the reading of this email.
Me neither.
It was more like, okay, your friend has issues, fine, like mental health struggles and all that. But just because you are struggling with your mental health does not mean you can just do whatever the fuck you want to and there are no consequences to the actions or anything like that. Like, you still have to be responsible for the things you do while you're going through whatever it is you're going through. So what I'm saying is that you're not wrong to want an apology. that's it. Like, if she is being inconsiderate and has repeatedly caused you to embarrass yourself at work, like you tried to get her hooked up with the job and all that, she made you miss out on part of the vacation because she didn't want to go to the doctor beforehand, and now you have to stay in the hospital with her, and now you done missed out on seeing your fave because she was so wishy-washy and then ditched you anyway and all that. Like, you deserve an apology for those situations or for being put out in that way. And if she can't come back afterwards or at some point and be like, hey, you know, I really fucked you over in that situation. You know, my bad. I didn't mean to do that, girl. I'm trying to do better, but a bitch be out here fucking up. Then that would be something else. But she just kind of seems to be very fuckless about it all. Like, oh, well, this is just who I am.
Well, she lacks self-awareness. So she, I guess Garner just trying to say that she doesn't.
Well, you're going to have to hold up the mirror, I think. I think you're going to have to show her the awareness. I think you might.
I think that you're going to have to, like, have a conversation with her in a way. I think a lot of people kind of don't give themselves enough credit for being able to speak to people about maybe a touchy subject or something, you know, with tension. Mm-hmm. Even though I feel like most of us are equipped to have a fair, calm, reasonable conversation.
Right.
Like, you don't need to go into, I think as long as you're going into a talk with her using, you know, a certain amount of empathy and honesty and care, then yeah, you should be able to at the very least get an apology while also making it clear that you care about her and whatever it is she's going through with her mental health, and that you in no way are like blaming her illness for whatever is going on. Like, you just kind of want to have an understanding or at least be able to get closure from the situations that you feel like were spoiled for you. And then you got to ask yourself what you would be willing to involve her in and what you wouldn't going forward, just based on the way that she may handle it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you probably never go and buy her ass to a concert again.
Right.
You know, and a couple of other things.
Probably not gonna do that.
And that's fine.
Not going on vacation with her no more. Not gonna try to get her a job again.
So, you know, your relationship, though, the times and places and ways that you spend time together are gonna kind of have to be decided with that shit in mind. But I don't think that it's something that you need to hold on to or like build any sort of animosity or grudge or resentment towards her, because you don't make an effort to actually heal from it or move past it. You should be able to talk to her about it and say, like, I know everything was going on and you've got all this other stuff going on, or this may be this, blah, 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 but this really hurt me or this really made me sad.
Right.
And I just really want you to understand that for the sake of like our friendship and us having a healthy relationship and stuff like that. Because it's like, I've noticed as I've gotten older and as time goes on, like, it's just, I guess, a regular thing for people to not be confrontational with their friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, niggas really be going, like, decades and decades
people
and decades.
People don't want to have hard conversations.
On their I don't mind it. Like, I won't do it I won't do it at the time a lot of times. Like, I may just sit back and just be like, I'm not saying nothing to nobody right now, because everybody could get lit up. And that's just not great for anybody. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to shut up and I'm going to take my time. But I cannot, I would not be able to go on, like, hanging out with this girl again or doing this or whatever and knowing, like, the next time I see you, the next time I speak to you, the first thing I'm thinking about is SZA. Like, period. And every time after that until we talk about it. So we might as well, I don't have to be a bitch to you. I'm going to let myself cool down or whatever. And then when I got something to say, I'm going to say it. That's what friendship is about.
Mm.
And you should still be able to have those doors of communication be open, regardless of her, you know, struggling with, like, if her mental illness just prevents her from having conversations or being, like, comprehending certain things.
It can't prevent you from apologizing when you see that you've hurt somebody's feelings.
Well, it does not sound like that's the case for her specifically at all. Like she, I'm assuming that although she says she lacks self-awareness or whatever, that she has a basic understanding of what right.
You
have
to see how your actions affect the people around you.
That's what I'm saying. And even if she doesn't, then you can hip her to game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can be like, hey girl, let me put you up on something real quick. This is what's going on through my head and stuff like that. How do we feel? Because I can't really tell you much about how to move forward in this friendship if y'all don't talk about it.
You have to be able to talk about it. You absolutely, like, it has to be something that the two of you have an open and honest dialogue about, because it is unfair to expect you to just continue to take these lumps and you just don't ever say anything about it. But on the chance that, because I don't struggle with whatever mental illness your friend struggles with, so on the chance that, you know, it's possible that she is doing these things and not aware of the impact they have, you might have to just kind of, you know, take a deep breath and gather up your courage and be like, hey girl, I'm gonna say something that you might not like or might be uncomfortable, but it's a real thing. And as somebody who is your friend and would like to remain your friend, you know, we have to discuss it. Like, it just has to be talked about. You can't have a real friendship with somebody if you're not willing to tell them, hey, this XYZ that you did hurt my feelings. Like, you just, there's no real relationship there without being able to do that. So,
and you know that she, or you're saying that it's not something that you think that she can help or whatever, or she's not aware of it. So
right,
that
you're
should,
saying she can't help doing this, which.
So if she was like, if she was just like, I don't give a fuck, I'm a nasty ass bitch, or I just don't give a fuck about anybody else, then it wouldn't be no problem for you to just snap off on her.
Right.
But if you understand that.
Or to just not be
it's
your friends.
More, right. If you understand that it's more complicated than that, I think that should give you a bit more ease into having, like, just a calm, respectful, understanding conversation. And if you need to take time before you get there, then that's more than understandable, and you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody should make you feel like you have to rush into having that conversation, but you should do
it. Right. You're the one who gave like multiple examples of her doing this sort of thing. And it doesn't seem like she's going to stop of her own volition. Like, so maybe she just really is not aware of how much it upsets you to constantly have to kind of just go behind her and clean things up or whatever, however you want to call it. So, yeah.
If you don't make someone aware that they're hurting you, there's no way for them to stop. Like, they can't.
Right. Although you might think it was is incredibly obvious, just based off the details you've given
exactly.
us here, it just seems like, of course, like, bitch, I waited hours for you outside of like my favorite artist show so that you could get in on time and we could be together for it and all that. And then you didn't even make it inside with me. Like, had I not waited for you, I would have been inside hours ago, right next to the stage in prime position for Snapchat. But no. Like, and you so yeah, you should feel free to say that, and she should. I don't think you can have a friendship with somebody who can't apologize when they do you wrong, when they sincerely, genuinely do you wrong and are incapable of apologizing. I don't know that a friendship like that should work out, but I also don't think mental illness should keep you from apologizing when you hurt somebody's feelings. So good luck to the both of you, because it sounds a little complicated. Hope it works out. Our next question comes from Miss Kit, who says, the reason I'm writing you guys is because last week Crystal mentioned situationships, and I am currently in the best situationship I've ever had. Mm-hmm. We are, don't do this. We are really great friends and we have a routine. I come over, we smoke, we drink. We are both into metaphysics, so the convo is always deep.
Oh God.
I'm a Capricorn. He's a Taurus. I don't know what those mean.
Me neither.
His house is soothing. We both love film, so we're always watching something together. And somewhere in there would be a little pleasure. Ideal, right? We also hang out in the same circle, but when we're out, there's no policing. I don't monitor any girls he brings around, although he seemed a little jealous once with my little dip. But for the most part, we are open and free. So here comes the but. I want a partnership. Not with him. He is great, but it's understood what it is, and I honestly don't want anything else from him. I enjoy his company and he enjoys mine, but I want a partnership built on more than a good time. I believe that what you do, say, and feel will be brought into your life. So with that being said, I attempted to take a month-long break from my routine to get some clarity. I knew I had this desire for a life partnership, but I'm not sure if I'm blocking it from coming in by keeping the situationship going with him. Unfortunately, the only clarity I got is that I need a little dick every now and then, and I barely made it 3 weeks. So my question is, girl, Do you guys think having a situationship is sending mixed signals of what I really want, or should I just keep enjoying what he and I have and relax? I just don't want to walk into 2018 with anything that doesn't serve me and my desires. Thank you for keeping my life going every Thursday. Love, Miss Kit.
Y'all be overthinking shit.
Yeah, you really do. This feels like one of those, if I have a situationship, then what I'm putting out to the universe is my desire for a bunch of flings and la-da-da-da-da. And I don't think I think all you're doing by having a situationship is putting out in the universe that you like having dick.
I don't understand what else there is.
Yeah, I don't think it's saying... All I ever want is casual relationships.
On Instagram Live saying, hey guys, this is Taurus. We are in a situationship together. This is the way I choose to live my life and no other way. Like, I don't if you're simply getting dick down by somebody that you enjoy getting dick from whenever you want to go and get it, how is that preventing you from meeting somebody else and establishing a partnership? Mm-hmm. Like, what would happen is if you do meet someone and you feel like I could see it going somewhere with that and it starts to get serious, then maybe you're gonna have to stop getting that dick from over there or wean off. Wean. But
you are so dumb.
Like
a little gradual letting up of the dick. Yeah.
You're almost a lesbian. Like all of this like emotion.
Yeah, this is a lot of thought.
I'm getting really great dick and it's like super like awesome and nothing wrong with it. And like the house feels like an Erykah Badu album and we just have fun. But like, is it too much? Like, am I telling the universe the wrong thing? No, girl, you're getting fucked.
Yeah.
That's more than many of us could say. So just enjoy it. Bitch.
Right, bitch, just enjoy it.
And go on dates when you're not getting fucked.
The fact that you have an option, right. But what you should not do is let the situationship take up so much of your focus that you're not going out with anybody else or going out ever. Because then you are playing yourself by spending all your time with somebody that you don't even really see a future with. Like, this nigga, this is the type of nigga you text between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. and all that. Like, you have to keep him to his shift of the day and know exactly what his role is. You come over and dig me down and go home. Like, that's that. You shouldn't be going on dates and shit with this nigga like that. I feel like that's where maybe your actions are not lining up with your goals. But I think straight women face so much pressure to be partnered, or like all your life you're told, you know, that you just really ain't nothing without a husband or whatever. Like, that's the message you get over and over, that y'all start feeling like you can't even have dick on the side without blocking your marital
blessings. Like, you're doing
blessings.
The wrong thing. Right. Like, getting dick when you should be super chaste.
Lord, right. Like, girl, you don't have to put a husband on your vision board and chant and dedicate your vagina to the never-ending path of seeking out a life mate. Like,
let me tell you,
I don't want a partnership, so I can't help you with that part. I can't help you with that, wanting like a life partner. But you're not gonna, you fucking a nigga now is not gonna stop a husband from coming your way.
And it would be nothing for this nigga to come to you at some point and be like, so I met somebody and blah blah blah, so we got to stop this. And that's if he stops fucking you.
Right, that's if he's that mature to do it. Right, which he might not.
You over here getting ready to not have any dick anymore before you find the new dick. Like, what the fuck is your problem?
No,
I should really be cussing you the fuck out. Oh, I'm getting great dick, but I just feel like I shouldn't be. Like,
am I putting it out
into
the universe?
I'm over here like Blanche Devereaux. So long since I've been dipped. And you getting dick talking about, I want a man, so should I stop getting fucked?
Girl.
Shut up.
If you don't take the blessing the Lord has already put in your life and enjoy it for what it is, sis. Mm-mm. I see what you're saying, I guess. Like, it's that time of year where people start thinking about goals and clearing out energy and all that other organic tea stuff. And all
that
is really great.
You ain't gonna do it no way. So
all that shit is great. But yeah, you can go ahead and give up that good casual dick if you want to. I'm sure there's somebody waiting in the wings to take your place.
You know, there is. Yeah, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
I wouldn't if I were you. Just enjoy it and leave space in your life for other people, so that if you're worried about missing out on your soulmate, that won't be so much of a concern. All right, let's end it there because I feel like that was a lot for one day. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and we'll be back.
This week's episode is also being brought to you by NatureBox. The holidays aren't always a holiday. You've got things to do, people to shop for, and cheer to spread. You've got to keep your body fueled for all of the festivities and running around at the last minute, elbowing other moms in their faces. Okay, so if you need something tasty but healthy, go to NatureBox. We've got over 100 delicious snacks, including the ever-famous Sriracha Roasted Cashews, which I still haven't got enough of. But I've also been put onto new things, snickerdoodle flavored and all kinds of stuff.
Delicious. Like,
and I don't have to worry about artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, or Swifts, because they don't put any of that garbage in there. That's right. It's easy. Just go to naturebox.com, choose your snacks, and NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. New snacks are added every single month. Trust and believe it. They're inspired by new food trends, professional chefs, and customer feedback. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's the winter time, so stock up and make sure that you're snacking on something good.
Right. We've been telling y'all about NatureBox for so long now, and they are still just committed to giving you guys the highest quality snacks, and there's no risk. If you don't like a snack, NatureBox will replace it for free. Right now, they're offering our listeners 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/the read. That's naturebox.com/the read for 50% off your first order. Tis the season to eat a lot. So, you know, just let NatureBox help you to not make all of that junk. That's naturebox.com/the read for 50% off your first order. Let them know we sent you, and let's wrap up the show.
Okay, so we're back and it is time for the read.
It is.
Okay, so I will just get mine out of the way because I think it should be fast, but
yeah, mine is also not fast or not slow. Not long.
So first of all, this isn't really a read, but I just want to say maybe it's like a self-read. Like self-evaluation. I don't know.
Okay.
I am tired. A haiku. No.
I was really about to sit here and count your syllables like, yes, no, haikus, really we're doing that? Oh, okay.
No, but I really am tired as fuck. And I have been kind of beating myself up for it for a couple of months. Because I know that there's more that I could be doing, and I take my work very seriously, and I think that I know that I'm like my worst critic. I've got a lot on the table right now, a lot of stuff to come, a lot of stuff every single day, as do you and many other people. I think I've said on here before, like, I don't remember how I worded it, but I've definitely said that, you know, like, I look at people like a Beyonce and her work ethic, and I've always looked at, like, people like Puffy talking about, I'll sleep when I'm dead, and all of these things. I feel like in those moments where I get kind of complacent or I just don't feel like doing anything today or whatever, like, I will, like, shit on myself. I should have worded that differently. But I will, like, I'll beat myself up for feeling, like, so exhausted and lacking motivation and shit like that. And feeling like I'm horrible for not, you know, making whatever sort of efforts for that day. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but my dad used to say all of the time, if you get in bed at the end of the day and you can't think of, like, a single, like, super productive thing that you did that day, you wasted it. He was like this all of the time. And so I've always, like, analyzed what I'm doing and where I'm at. And sometimes I just get really, like, my depression will kick in because I feel like there's so much more that I could be doing. I could have written more today. I could have cleaned out my closet today, but I didn't. I could have, you know, worked out an extra hour or whatever, like, whatever stuff. But I've decided recently, or I've acknowledged recently, that I actually have done a lot this year. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in, like, what we're not doing that we don't take the time to highlight and appreciate what we actually have done. Like, I've been on a million planes this year. I have flown around the literal world. I've been up on stages in front of hundreds of motherfucking people. I've written all kinds of fucking jokes. I've had to go here and there and every motherfucker where you come here every single fucking week. Like, I don't hate it. I love it. I appreciate it. I definitely don't take it for granted, but I don't have a problem admitting that it's hard fucking work. And I think that it's okay for me to make peace with being tired as fuck. Like, I feel like any normal person at this point in the year, after everything that I've gone through and everything that I've been doing this year, should be able to be like, you know what, bitch, I'm tired and I actually don't want to hear it right now. Like, check with me when the year ends in an 8. Like, we're a couple of years or a couple of weeks out. Like, as of right now, we're still here with a 7. So when the year ends in 8, then come talk to me. Otherwise, right now, I'm going to lay my ass down when I'm not in here on Wednesday. I'm going to catch up on some anime. I'm going to watch a bunch of funny movies. I'm going to eat snacks and do my regular, like, a little routine. And I'm still absolutely, like, working on, like, a million things. But I'm doing so with peace of mind when I decide, like, I want to take a break. Or I'm too tired to think today. Or what the fuck am I doing with my life? I'm like, bitch, look at all of the shit that you do with your life this year. And already talking about a bunch of shit that you're going to be doing with your life next year. Bitch, you could be tired. Anybody would be. So that is for me. Moving forward.
I was going to say, why do you feel like you can't be? You have done a lot this year. Like, all of
it. It's just how I am.
Oh.
Like, I'm just
like, you don't deserve to just sit down somewhere and take a break and not be pushing yourself nonstop.
I am, like, the worst to me. I am awful to myself. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not kind to me. Like, do you mean like the way you treat yourself? Because I'm a bitch to me.
Yeah. The way that I treat myself, the way that I think about myself, the way that I, like, view, like, my behavior or the decisions that I make, I put myself in this place where I just feel like I could be working all day long. I could have gone to the gym and done 500 cleans and like I could, like, bust my ass and literally be, like, physically broken and go home and then be like, you lazy bitch, you ain't never gonna be shit because you didn't, you know, run down to the grocery store and go get that bottle. Oh, like, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like,
too rough on yourself.
Yes. Like, basic shit. It's not, I couldn't possibly be doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? I have money to pay my bills. I have an apartment that I like. Link ain't dead. You know? So, like.
Right. The things that matter.
I'm clearly doing something. Mm-hmm. And I was actually, my therapist the other day, I said something like, I don't remember what I said, some self-destructive shit about being exhausted and feeling like shit about it. And she was like, well, we've been talking for well over this year.
Yeah.
And you always doing something. You're always somewhere. Your bag is, like, one of the things she would tell me all the time is to just keep a packed bag because you're never.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're never here.
Yeah, with the solo tour and everything, you were gone all year long.
Have people, like, see if they can schedule, like, a car to come and pick you up so you don't have to think about when you're going to get an Uber or whatever. Like, you're always doing something. And I could be doing more. Like I've said, I'm definitely not at the Beyonce level of doing things. Maybe no human being but Beyonce, if she's human, can do that. But
man,
I do a lot. I'm proud of what I've done and I'm excited to do more. But I'm okay with saying, bitch, I'm tired as fuck. And everybody's going to have to deal with me being tired as fuck right now until I ain't tired no more. Within reason. That is that. Past that. And this is simply petty. If I am in your town.
Mm.
No.
Oh, is it?
No.
Okay.
We aren't.
All right.
As I've just said, I've done a lot of traveling for work this year. Most of it for work. And most of it, I would only be out of town for 2-3 days at most. If I'm in your town, please do not send me no messages talking about, oh, so you was just gonna come to such and such and not say nothing to nobody? Cut it out. Like,
yes, I was.
I actually was fully going to do that. Like, yes, I was.
Yes, of course I was.
I'm here for work and I'm right. Only here for a couple of days. Not to mention, if I'm in a city like Miami or Atlanta or Los Angeles, a couple of other places, I know a lot of people in each of these cities. Mm-hmm. If I'm only going to be there for 2-3 days, if I even have time to see anybody,
right. It
may not be you. Catch me when I'm back or when you're in my city or whatever.
That's real.
Or You could, when you see me there, say, oh, I see that you're in town. Like, what are you doing? Are you going to have time? Let's go get drinks. Something like that. At least you're acknowledging, like, I see you here. If you have it in your schedule, if you can make time for me, let's get up. I have no problem with that. And I will probably respond to that. But you trying to be, I don't care if you're trying to be cute or funny or not. I just find it annoying when I'm in a town for like maybe 36 hours or some shit like that. And bitches want to be like, oh, so you weren't going to tell anybody that you were here. I didn't even have time to like go to the bathroom.
Right.
Like I got off the plane, put my shit down, got on stage. And then they were like, my app said it's time for you to check in.
I mean, and y'all knew I was here. Like you saw me coming. So why did it have to be a... Why did it have to be like framing it on me like it's my fault for not hitting up everybody I know in this fucking area code?
Oh, so you was having a party?
Mm-mm.
You this, follow me?
Every time I go home, this happens.
You knew I was having a party.
Every like, time.
just be like, hey, girl, I see you're in town or whatever. Do you have time for a G?
Right.
No? Or when you coming back? Something like that. Why are you trying to press me? Oh, so you just came to town and didn't tell nobody. You don't know what the fuck I'm here for.
I mean, maybe I did. Maybe I did not even want to be bothered. Like for me, if I'm traveling for work, I'm probably so focused on the work that I have to do that
I'm not even thinking about the rest of that.
Until whatever I have to do is over. And then after that, I really don't have a lot of time because I'm probably leaving that same night or the very next morning.
We went to New Orleans and I ate ribs.
And you should have.
That I ordered from Uber Eats.
Okay.
Because by the time I actually got to put food in my stomach, that's all I could get. Everything else was closed. I didn't eat shit that day except like the Pringles that was in the hotel room and the food that I ordered after the show was done.
I had to order something that day too. I was starving.
Everything else was closed. I didn't get no grenades. I didn't get no beignets.
Nope.
I didn't get no like nothing. I got some ribs that honestly tasted like I could have got them right here.
Damn, that's too bad.
So
you had a nigga in New Orleans hitting you up like, so you just gonna come to my
I'm not using New Orleans. That did not happen in New Orleans. But what I'm saying is like, that's just an example of when I think of New Orleans or going to New Orleans, the first thing that comes to my mind is food.
Right. Where are we eating and how fast can we eat there?
Then drinks. Then Creole niggas. I didn't get any of those things.
No. Mm-mm. I passed 3 light-skinned dreadhead dykes in the lobby at a hotel. I was like, is this a sign? Am I supposed to be right here, Lord?
Nothing happened. So I literally went, did that show, ate in the hotel room, and then we turned right the fuck back around and left again. So even if I did have friends like that in New Orleans that I wanted to see, unless they came to the show, I wouldn't have seen them niggas.
Right.
So please leave me alone. Like,
it don't have to be like this with me. Y'all don't have to treat me like this.
If you send me a message ever in your life and I respond to it, in like a courteous and fun and friendly manner, I probably fuck with you. And you don't have to doubt that by assuming that I don't because I was in your hometown when you were and I didn't contact you or whatever. Like you just said, most of the time the only thing I'm thinking about is making sure that this show is done and it's done well.
Right.
And by the time it is done, I have to leave.
Right. And before that, I have no mental capacity for anything else. Like, it's just, it doesn't work like that. But I get that a lot when I go home for holidays or something.
I get it a lot when I go home, too.
So you came home and didn't hit up everybody you used to know 18 years ago? It's like, no, actually, well, I didn't.
I hit up my mama.
I came to see my mama now.
She made me.
Right. Kind of have to go see her, you know.
My dad, so.
Was chilling with cousins and people like y'all not. I don't know. It's just irksome.
It's not even like you, like I said, it's not like don't say, hey, I'd love to see you. Say, I'd love to see you.
Right.
Don't be trying to make me feel bad or be like, oh, so you couldn't, etc. Right.
If you see me on Instagram in your city, there's no point in writing a caption like, oh, where am I invited or whatever. Like, you don't have to do that.
And
if we're that close, you could text me and be like, hey, you're in town. Do you have time?
And it'll be you just landed. Like, they'll be looking at your, like, that
story
shit with the fucking stamp of the airport in it.
Yeah.
While you'd be like LAX or whatever.
And they'd be like, oh, okay, just let me
like,
Google.
Literally walking off of the jet bridge. Oh, so you're just coming into town, bitch, and you can... I haven't even gotten a baggage
in 4 hours and 23 minutes. Your plane will have landed.
Have not even gotten
How here. Come you haven't hit me up yet for plans? I don't know. I don't know why niggas act like that.
But at least, you know, there are people in my life who would like to see me. That's nice. But hey.
I mean, yeah, this... Okay, there's always, you know, a way of looking at things, and that's a valid one. Yes, it is.
But sweetie,
but you just don't have to talk to, you don't have to talk to me like it's my fault or like I did something wrong because you didn't get a text as soon as I landed in your city.
Like, I didn't come to the city for like a week and have a pizza party and didn't tell you.
Right. Right. It wasn't like I was here for a whole month and was just like, fuck that one bitch I used to know.
Right.
I'm just going to go kick it with
on
everybody
Instagram
else.
With a hashtag. Like, everybody I fuck with, hashtag everybody else is trash. Like, like, why are you even mad?
Right. Something that had just excluded this one person. Yeah, niggas do act like that.
Even though some people have said that to me before, and I've asked myself, why on earth would I have ever contacted you? Like,
so here's the thing. If you can own, if you don't have my phone number, then really tread carefully with that whole line, because what you might do is get your feelings hurt.
If you have to put an ad in front of my stage name.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Like, in order to contact
me. The only way you can get in touch with me is DMs. That we're not that close. So I'm just saying.
Not close enough for you to assume that I would have just reached out to you.
Right, exactly.
When I got to town.
Exactly. So maybe some of it is people playing themselves by just assuming that y'all are closer than what you actually are. And then some of it is niggas being niggas.
It's just niggas being niggas. Most of it is the latter.
Right. No, it
but
is.
I'm just saying, I would really love it if I could, like, just, if you could just reword these things. Not saying that we don't have to go and get fucked up. If you got some weed, I would love to share. But just be a little kinder and calmer. I'm probably already pulling down my hair because I got to go and get on stage somewhere.
Right. Well, speaking of things that should have been done totally differently, have you seen the Time Magazine Person of the Year cover? It goes to the Silence Breakers, the voices that launched a movement.
I went out of my way to not talk about this.
And guess.
I know what you were talking
who's
about.
Who's on?
I don't need to see
Le
it.
Le Couvert. Just one guess. It's everybody's fave.
I really didn't want to talk about this.
Well, I did, because we all know, we mentioned it on the show at least, about Taylor Swift and the story of that DJ who groped her and she sued and all that. And, you know, very nice. And of course, even though Taylor Swift is the literal definition of a demon, she still does not deserve to be assaulted.
Right.
In that way. And so, of course, you know, if you wanted to maybe make a mention of Taylor Swift and what she did, then fine. I could see her being, you know, included on a list of people who were silence breakers this year and spoke out and said something. But as for Taylor's ass being on the cover of the magazine, that's what I really had an issue with. And yes, I understand that magazines, the purpose is to sell issues.
Right.
And so, yeah, you put Taylor Swift on it because you want to sell copies. Duh. I get it. And I'm not saying, oh, because it happened to Taylor Swift, it's not a valid experience and Taylor Swift shouldn't be allowed to talk about it, or nobody should celebrate that Taylor did one thing that was not utterly selfish or anything like that.
One thing, bitch.
You did one thing.
Not giving you anything past
you
that.
You did one thing. But it's just that I don't appreciate Taylor Swift being framed as like somebody who has been a vocal part
of this movement. Right.
The whole hashtag Me Too thing, like the lady that I introduced myself as today, Tarana Burke, she actually started the Me Too movement, like, and has a whole nonprofit organization that's been, I think, over 10 years old at this point, you know, trying to help different victims of sexual abuse and sexual assault realize that it's not just them. And, you know, as difficult as it is to talk about being victimized in that way, it's so important for us to do it. And so it would be one thing if Taylor Swift used her massive platform to, like, bring light to the women who actually need it. Like, it would be one thing if she was highlighting all these different Black women and women of color, trans women, gender nonconforming people of all genders, all type of stuff. And, like, really talking about the ones who need the outreach or need the attention or who need the voice. Like, it would, that would be something else, because Taylor Swift has such a huge ass platform. But what Taylor Swift always does is scoots by. I mean, she literally just skates in the background doing the bare fucking minimum. And white people see Taylor Swift on the edges of being right about something and pluck her ass from all the way in the back and put her up front and gloss her over and be like, this is me too, you guys. These are the people of the year. These are the ones who started the conversation. What conversation is there even? People had to ask, why is Taylor Swift on the cover? Because that's how little she actually spent. That's how little time she actually spent talking about what's going on.
Not even because I don't like her. I genuinely forgot and was confused as to why she was on the cover.
Right. And no, yeah, shade. Taylor did, you know, great things, donated money to domestic abuse organizations and all that. Great, great, great. That's not my issue. My issue again is like, when there are people who actually said something and lost something. When there are people who, like Kesha, who did that whole thing with her label and back and forth with them niggas and was depressed and suicidal and all that other stuff and everything that was going on with her, it was like, why Taylor? Why not somebody who actually risked something by speaking out and used their position and their platform to talk about the greater issue, as opposed to Taylor Swift, who literally never does anything like that? Taylor Swift can't even be bothered to be like, I renounce white nationalism. I do not believe in white supremacy. The KKK needs to stop acting like I'm their fucking poster. She won't even do that. She won't even do that shit.
And will sue you.
And will sue you for saying you something about it.
That she does. I can't.
Man, so I just, this is less about Taylor, because Taylor didn't invite herself to be on the cover.
True.
But like I said earlier, I would have rather seen Terry Crews, who talks about this sort of thing publicly and is suing Adam Vinet. Shout out to me for getting that wrong last week or whenever it was we talked about it. But Adam's not gay. Apparently he's straight. He has a wife.
Oh.
He just was on bath salts or whatever the fuck and decided he could grab Terry Crews' dick. I don't know. But apparently he's not gay. He's just...
Oh, no, I'm really pissed.
He's just a predator. Right. He's just...
Not that it wasn't wrong when he was a gay man, but it's like...
At least then I thought he was just overwhelmed by how fine Terry Crews was.
Like, yes. Like, I can think of many people...
Because I get that.
Many gay men who might want to grab his dick, although you should not.
I
want to
grab his dick, but like, I would never. Just,
like, what the fuck is your problem?
Right. But at least then I was like, I understand. Terry Crews is fine. Was he doing the
large and chocolate? Was he doing
the titties jump?
I was just like, you know, some white, I was like, some white gays can't control themselves.
But see, that's still not okay.
It's not. But I'm saying I could see that.
You just
I understood,
right?
That, you know, that's a thing.
You
that
might
some
just
of these white
be
queens
overwhelmed
be doing.
With sexual attraction for Terry Crews.
Still assumed he was high, but it was just right. Kind of like, okay, this white queen did too much.
But no,
what the fuck is this problem?
Straight white man who's awful. I'm like, what the fuck? Terry Crews, who talked about, you know, feeling ostracized by some of his friends and stuff in Hollywood, like people didn't necessarily have his back because they don't want to rock the boat with this white man and all this stuff. Like, let's talk about the people who actually risked something. That's all. So it's not even really a read for Taylor Swift. It's a read for, I'm sure, the gaggle of white women who thought they were doing something so amazing and just groundbreaking and just, oh my God, you guys. And it's not even... The thing is, within the article, like if you actually go through the time list and you read, you know, the stories of Tanara Burke and a lot of the other people, like there are so many other choices that could have made it onto this cover. And the justification for using Taylor, to me, it just isn't there. Like, I don't think y'all really wanted to highlight the people who started this movement, especially because the follow-up to this whole conversation is that you gave Person of the Year to women or the people who started the whole conversation, hashtag Me Too and all that. And then you gave Donald Trump first runner-up in the Person of the Year run. And it's like, so you decided to say we're going to put a spotlight on the people who are talking about sexual assault and abuse and then nominate the country's highest official for the Person of the Year award also, and he's a known sexual predator. Like, so that's, so y'all don't really, you don't really give a fuck about this topic is where time led me to believe. Like, that's what all of this gave me. You don't really give a shit about the conversation. You don't really give a shit about victims. You give a fuck about selling magazines.
Time feels.
And so it's just really shitty and gross. I don't care for it. I certainly won't be buying it. All the Taylor Swift fans. And people were mad at me because I said something about it on Twitter earlier. Like, this is, I would have just rather seen Terry Crews on the cover. And they're like, well, can you take a break for one fucking day? Because Taylor Swift does not deserve the vitriol and the anger and No. See, the thing is, Taylor Swift could have said no. Put victims who have lost something on the cover. Put people who came forward and it was a huge risk and now they've lost their careers and their money and their family and friends and they have no support. Like, let's uplift the voices and the people whose stories are never told. But she did not do that. She took her opportunity to be on the cover like most of us admittedly probably would have. But that means that when you position yourself as the face of a movement, you open yourself up to critique as in your role. In your role, whatever the fuck you think Taylor Swift's role is in this movement. Because again, when the fuck has she done anything? What public statement has Taylor made? Like, what? Anyway, fuck all that. The only other thing I wanted to talk about was Jeff Flake. I don't even really, this might just be too much into politics. And I don't think people listen to this show to just get a rundown of all the ways America is falling apart these days. But
I mean, you could just throw a rock.
So the whole Senate campaign in Alabama, this Doug Jones versus Roy Moore thing, and white people just refusing to vote for a Democrat and would rather put a child molester in office.
I shouldn't laugh.
It just doesn't make sense.
Ridiculous.
But anyway, Jeff Flake has kind of tried to position himself as a Republican with some sense. He's been one of the very few to come out against Donald Trump and say, you know, the very basics of this is garbage. Are we really going to tolerate this? Like, this man's crazy. But then, you know, he was invited to a lunch or something with a bunch of other Republican senators and he went and was right there in the photo op with Donald Trump at the same time. So you take all that with a grain of salt. Jeff Flake wrote a $100 check to Doug Jones's campaign for Senate in Alabama.
How much?
$100.
Okay.
Which is probably more than a lot of people are able to give, but when you know somebody has a net worth that is at least several hundred thousands of dollars, it's just kind of like, The $100, though, is not what got me.
Right, right.
It's the caption of Country Over Party, which he actually wrote in the memo of the check as well, that had me like, okay, now wait a minute, sir. What? Jeff Flake. Country Over Party. It should not even be a country over party issue. Like, what he's saying is, I'm donating money to this Democrat because it's more important that I support somebody who does not, you know, pursue high school girls and write in their yearbooks about how much he wants to date them and kiss them and all this stuff. Like, this is just kind of like, it felt like giving rewards or kudos where they aren't deserved, like country over party, like, yes, I am doing the right thing and endorsing the right person. But when it's a conversation between a Democrat and a child molester, why is it a debate in the first fucking place?
You know?
And secondly, Jeff, like, you really can't talk about valuing the country over the party when you turned your ass around not even one whole week ago and voted for this stupid ass Republican tax bill that nobody thinks is going to be good. Literally nobody. Like, even the most conservative think tanks and all this are like, yeah, this is going to cost like hundreds of millions of dollars and we will not be able to pay for it because the people who can pay for it will be getting a tax break. Like, it is something that the overwhelming majority of the country will not prosper under. It is something that is bad for most people, including most of Jeff Flake's own broke ass constituents. And yet you still voted for it. So please don't tell me that your little $100 donation, which I'm sure $100 is nothing to you, really means that you are valuing the United States of America over the Republican Party, because it all rings really hollow when you say something like that and your actions go like directly against it. Okay. Yeah. You don't support a child molester. Hootie fucking who, nigga? Like, who's supposed to throw a party for you for that? Like, that's not some great, amazing achievement. You didn't do some great thing for that. Like, you voting for a bill that will fuck over the majority of Americans, that's putting your party over your country. That's what that is. And I think at this point, I'm probably just tired of all these politicians. Like, to be honest, we can gut most of the House and the Senate and just get everybody the fuck up out of here and redo the whole damn government. I don't trust nobody no more.
Yeah, we got to put it in rice.
And I was never, I mean, you know who I am. I was never going to ride for anybody in the GOP anyway. But Jeff Flake really, I think he did this on purpose. Like, over the past several months, it's been very much of a, okay, yeah, the Republicans are crazy and everybody's just following in line with Donald Trump and all this because that's our president and we can get our own shitty politics and everything passed. But you don't really give a fuck about the country. When it comes down to it, you still care about your own selfish ass values and things of that nature. And that's why you voted for that tax bill. You really don't give a fuck about the rest of us. So just stop trying to act like you do. That's all. Just don't front like you really give a shit about us because you don't. And that's it.
All right.
I'm done. Fuck Jeff Flake. Fuck the Republican Party. Really just the United States of America as a whole, our government, our federal government, we just need brand new motherfuckers in here. They about to get Al Franken the fuck out of here, which is its own other story that I don't even want to get into. I've just been kind of nonstop on MSNBC lately and not able to deal with the way these people are running America into the fucking ground. But yeah, I'm done. Anything else from you?
Nope, that's all I've got.
Do we have any news this week?
Sure we do. First of all, thank you again to everybody who came out to the show in New Orleans past weekend. If you are in Detroit, I'm pretty sure that our show is sold out, but we are coming to your city next weekend. Show's the 16th, I believe. Your hometown fave, Dustin, will be there with us, as well as Asante. And this coming Saturday, we have a holiday pop-up shop and toy drive that is being held right here in New York City. It will be hosted by Asante, and it will take place from 12 to 5. Again, that's this coming Saturday. The flyer and information is up on the Reed Instagram page. This is the Reed. All of our merch that you've been seeing will be there on sale. So the Break Up With Him hat, sweater, we've got
all that stuff,
cups, and we've got tea mugs, coffee mugs, I think is what they're usually called, those cups. And then they've got all kinds of things, pins and stickers, fun things.
Socks.
So bring a toy with you unwrapped. This is another effort through Toys for Tots.
Amen.
Been doing toy drives with them for the past, 4 years? Almost five? Not really sure.
Bring some joy to a baby's face this holiday season.
I mean, we could all use it. If you ain't getting your joy, at least give it to a little child somewhere. Right.
Kids deserve. The rest of us are trash, but
I will be doing my usual stop in like a Target and buying all of the black toys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I did the first, or all of them, yeah. Actually. Like, all of the toy drives, I've just been like, this one black, this one. I don't know who any of these motherfuckers are either. Like, I might pick up like a Storm toy or like, I don't know, some other motherfucker I recognize. But then I just be picking up like Monster High or all these. I don't know who these doll babies are anymore, but I pick up the brown skinned ones.
There's a black owned toy store in Harlem called Grandma's Place.
Yeah, you told me about that because you brought toys from there last year.
Yeah, me and Asante and friend were walking by it and just saw it and we're like, well, let's just go here and spend all of our money with these people. So, yeah.
So, I get that. Spread some holiday cheer. Come out with us. Get some merch. Bring a toy. Fun, fun, fun. More information on the page. Other than that.
Thanks again to Sonos for supporting today's episode of The Read. Feels so great to be able to control your music with just your voice. And of course, it sounds amazing. The Sonos One blends great sound with Amazon Alexa. You can use your voice to play songs in the kitchen, the bathroom, the boudoir, and more. For a limited time, Sonos is offering you guys 10% off one order of $2,500 or less for any products on Sonos.com. Just use the promo code READ10. That's capital READ10 at Sonos.com to receive this offer. Get yourself something nice for Christmas. But yeah, other than that, I don't think I have any other announcements or anything this week. Excited to close out this year of of the Reed touring with Detroit. Have a good time with y'all.
And yeah, it's been a while since we've been there.
Yeah, so and then just come back and app up the year. So do we have an acronym this week?
I do not have an acronym this week. I will say be good to yourselves and to one another, unless that bitch don't deserve it. If he don't deserve it, then whoop his motherfucking ass.
Ain't nothing to cut that bitch off.
The end. We'll see you next week.